A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Coming to her, he said, "Hail, you who have been filled with grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I will have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And with that, the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we see in the first reading from today's feast, the early church, as soon as Jesus ascended, in order to await the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, in order to learn how to cooperate and be docile to the Holy Spirit when at last he would come. And they didn't know it would take 9 days. They just prayed that first day, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. They might have kept on going the 390th, the 4,014th day. They didn't know. But what they did know was the proper way to prepare. And they prepared around Mary. With the other members of the early church, they huddled around her as they prayed each of those days, because she was the one overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, not just at the moment of the incarnation when Christ was conceived in her womb, but throughout. They knew that she would teach them how to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit and then to live by the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit who teaches us how to pray as we ought, that Holy Spirit who helps us to cry out, "Abba, Father." So that's why they got around her. And that's always the church learns how to pray. Today, the Feast of Our Lady the Rosary goes back to 1571, October 7th, when the church was fighting a battle for survival. The Turks had come and were threatening to trample Italy. And there was a battle for the ages in Lepanto, off the Adriatic coast. The Christians had very little odds to win that battle. It was in the midst of that battle where, to use a sports analogy, they were almost down by 100 points. Pope St. Pius V was at St. Mary Major Basilica in Rome. He had the whole Church of Rome around him praying with him. He basically went into ecstasy. He basically was relating to the Christians in Rome exactly what was happening in that battle. And when the sailors from the Christian side eventually arrived in Rome months later, and they described what happened in the battle, it was blow for blow exactly as St. Pius V was telling them it had occurred. And they were there praying around Mary, the most famous church in the world dedicated to her motherhood, asking her to help them to pray with confidence. Why didn't they just avoid the middlewoman? Why didn't they just pray directly to the Lord? When you think about a battle, how many women are the great warriors of history? Why didn't they pray to Saint Sebastian? Why didn't they pray to Saint Martin of Tours? Why didn't they pray to O Santo Condestável of Portugal? Saint Nuno Pereira Alves? Why didn't they pray to any of these warrior saints, even Saint Peter, who cut off Malchus's ear? Because in their circumstance, they wanted more than a warrior. They wanted someone to teach them, far more than even Saint Jude, how to pray in hopeless situations. They were learning from a mother who was told at the end of the gospel we just heard, nothing will be impossible with God. And if God can make a woman who is a virgin pregnant with the Son of God, then God can easily defeat the Turkish navy. That's why they turned to her, to teach them how to pray for the impossible with confidence, knowing that God can do it. And unsurprisingly, God did. That's where this feast came from. A year to the day, on October 7, 1572, Pope St. Pius V instituted the feast of Our Lady of Victory, who brought the Christian people to victory in Lepanto and would guide the people on our pilgrimage to eternal victory. But then over the course of time, we started celebrating not just the victory and not just the role Our Lady played in that historical triumph, but started to celebrate the means that led the Christians to the triumph. The total confidence in turning to the Mother of God, specifically through the rosary. As St. Pius V, that Dominican, and the Dominicans were the ones, as we see up here in our beautiful stained glass window of St. Dominic with rosaries in his hand, the Dominicans were the ones who took the rosary as the gospel on a string to the entire world, so that they might enter into Mary's school and learn how to collaborate with the Holy Spirit in that way. So we started to celebrate Our Lady of the Rosary so that we'd be able to take up that most important weapon in the Christian arsenal, which is not a shield, which is not a helmet, which is not a dagger, which is prayer. And the type of total, persevering, confident prayer we learn from this heroic and loving mother. Pope John Paul II, in his beautiful apostolic exhortation in the Rosary from 2002, when he was inaugurating the Year of the Rosary, encouraged all of us Catholics to enter into Mary's school, to learn from her precisely how to persevere in prayer, how to open wide our hearts to receive that all God wishes to reveal, and how to imitate her in that response. Her response to each of the mysteries of Christ over the course of his life was always fiat. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Let it be done to me according to your word. She teaches us how to cooperate with God. So often we think that the response God wants is faciam. Here's what I'll do. Here's the action I'm going to take. But the real secret that Mary says is fiat, not faciam. Not I will do, but let it be done. Let it happen according to your holy word, according to your holy will. That is what brought the Christian navy to victory in Lepanto on this day in 1571. And that is what will bring us to eternal victory. I've always been moved by Michelangelo's Last Judgment at the Sistine Chapel in Rome. There's the scene of the judgment. You've got Christ there in triumph with Mary at his right side. You've got on the lower left of Christ those who are making their way to hell. Then on the right, you've got the saints up above a line of clouds. But then underneath the clouds, you've got all those who are trying to make their way to God. The way that they were doing it, the way they were saved, is you had angels out there from above the clouds lowering a lifeline, much like a helicopter would in a rescue at sea or in a flooded river. and the lifeline that was coming down from the angels looked like this. It was a set of rosary beads. And those making their way to heaven were grasping on for dear life. This is the lifeline God gives us to lift us heavenward. It's not a secret amulet. It's not just a holy object. It's a relationship. It's an entrance into Mary's school, into learning from her how to say fiat to what the Holy Spirit wishes to do in us, so that he might accomplish in us what he wishes, just like he did in the womb of Mary and in the life of Mary. Together on this feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, we give God thanks for giving us this gospel on a string, for helping us to learn from Mary how to truly say yes to Christ, her Son. We ask her to remind us always that nothing is impossible for God, and to teach us how to pray with insistence, whether we're down by 100 runs or 1,000. It's never over. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us.